God is willing to be in covenant with any nation or individual that puts His Word first place in their lives. Join Kenneth Copeland today with special guest David Barton and discover the power of a covenant next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let me tell you something today. I want to go on record as saying this before God, before the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I serve, before this nation and all the nations of the world, and in front of the devil and all the demons of hell. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is Lord, and He always causes us to triumph, and we are not going down, we are going up, and we win, bless God, forevermore. Now, you understand that? Praise God. Get out of my way. We are not losing. We're winning. Praise the Lord. Amen. You hear that, devil? Get out of my sight. Praise God. Amen. Well, I'm glad I got that off my chest. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank You that You always cause us to triumph. You are mighty, and You are our God. And we thank You and we worship You that in the midst of all of this chaos all over the world and stealing and killing and destroying and disastrous things that are happening and all of this mess, Jesus is Lord. And we rise up in Him. And He rises up in us. And we thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you join me today in welcoming David Barton to this studio and this broadcast? Praise God.
Good to be back with you.
Yeah, man. I want you to know how much we appreciate it too, David.
Thanks,
now,
bro.
I know you're one of the busiest human beings I have ever seen in my... I don't think you could sit still for 5 minutes if you... wanted to.
That's right. That's the tough part about vacations is being still.
Yeah,
don't take vacations.
But I really do appreciate it, man.
My pleasure,
we
man.
Need you, and this nation needs you, and we thank God for you and for what God's doing in your life and ministry. David, there's some things that are on my heart today, And just as we opened the broadcast, well, as you could tell, I didn't plan to do that. It just exploded in me.
Mm-hmm.
Last November, I was at Billy Brim's place up in Missouri, mm-hmm. and where she has that meeting every year at that time. And there were between... something like 2,500 people there that morning, and all of them strong prayer people.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get prayer people like that together. Man, I'm telling you, the place just gets vibrant with the power of God.
Yeah.
And we were praying about our nation. We were praying about all of the things that are so prevalent to particularly to people of prayer. You see through the government facade and all of that phony stuff that goes on. And you begin to see things happening, and a lot of people are seriously and rightfully concerned about this country.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm sitting there I'd been praying in spirit some time. And I just hushed for a moment, and as I did, really what I had in mind was just to be quiet here and just take in God's presence. I was physically tired, and I just really was just worshiping the Lord. Just as I did that, just as I settled in Him, I heard these words. David, I mean, I heard them so loud on the inside of me, it was like the Lord was shouting at me.
Hmm. Wow.
You're not seeing the destruction of the United... No, you're not seeing the end of the United States of America. You are seeing the death of the Babylonian socialistic system that has been attacking this nation for the last 110
years. 110
years. Just kind of...
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't expecting.
Didn't expect you to that.
Boy, man, there it was. And so I meditated on it and thought about it and prayed about it not for days. And tell you the truth, I didn't know what was happening 110 years ago. I had to go back and check it out and see. But then I saw that actually all socialism began at the Tower of Babel. That's when God blessed Noah and his sons, Ham, Seth, Ham and Japheth. And Seth stayed with the blessing. He stayed with God. That the blessing was his source of supply. Ham and Japheth didn't. They did the same thing with Adam did. They sloughed it off. And in a process of time, they began to press under Nimrod's. The first really king. In the sense that we know kings, to all of the people get together and just forget God. We can do this. It's actually social anything. Social justice, social this, social that, is man trying to meet his own needs without God. God introduced the blessing. Same power he created the earth. He introduced it and he said, with this blessing, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, resupply, perpetually resupply the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it, not with your own abilities, but with that blessing. Well, they designed them a different system. And so the social system began right there. And now,
let me throw something in there too, because I think, I mean, what you're hitting exactly on, and I think people need to understand part of what that social system is and how to identify it. I mean, it's easier. I love the scripture where it says we're not ignorant of his devices lest he get an advantage over us. The reason traps work is people don't know they're traps. I mean, a skunk walks into a trap because it didn't know it was a trap. If you know what the trap looks like, you can avoid it. The thing that stood out with Nimrod is his call for what they were doing. He says, let's all make bricks. What's the problem with making bricks? Well, God makes stones. Every one of them is individual. Everyone is different. They're not alike, but bricks.
Everyone is important.
Everyone's important.
Absolutely.
But with bricks, we're all going to be alike. We're all going to be equal. We're all going to look the same. We're going to make we're going to standardize everything. We're no longer individuals. We're just components in that beehive. And that's just, that's the wrong viewpoint.
Now, somebody, David, in that, you just named the poison in this thing. Somebody has to decide how big that brick is.
That's right.
What it's made out of.
That's right.
And who's going to make it, and it ain't going to be him.
That's right.
Whoever he's going to get the benefit of all the bricks, and you're going to get out there and make those bricks, and I guarantee you're going to get the littlest brick in the pile.
That's exactly it. And you lose control. You're no longer individual in control. You now have someone telling you what to do, what you can do, giving you all the regulations, stipulations. You're exactly right. And that was a system that ticked God off. I mean, that's why he came down out of heaven and said,
this is bad stuff.
We got to stop this right now. And that is the first occasion where we really have that departure from what God wants, and they're trying to go into a man-centered system where man meets his own needs, man's in charge of his own needs, man decides everything. You know, we can call it anything, but socialism is what it's actually known as.
Well, in whatever form it took, whether it's a king or a dictator or...
That's right.
Or a group of people that are running the thing, whomever's in control of it, it's still man meeting his own needs without
that's
God,
right.
and without God, there's no increase.
That's right.
So let me show you something over here, because I want to get this said so I can. I want to pull you into this and the anointing that God has given you to see through these things. In Genesis chapter 11, here's the pattern of the two different operations, and it is so It is just so blatantly clear when you see it. Here in the 11th chapter, when the very thing you were talking about, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain. They found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there, and they said to one another. They didn't bring nothing up to God. They didn't say anything but God about, is this where we're supposed to be, or nothing of the kind.
Yeah.
Let us make brick, burn them thoroughly. They had brick for stone. We don't need stone.
Yeah. That's what God makes.
Yeah,
we'll make our own substitute for that.
We want this stuff like we want it.
Yeah, that's right.
So anyway, they did all that. And they said, let's build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad in the face of the whole earth. Well, yeah, you're going to be scattered abroad, you dimwit. That's what God wanted you to do.
That's the first command he gave. Command number one.
And so they said, no, we ain't going to do that. Yeah. We're going to do this our way. Now, you come right over to the 12th chapter. Remember, let us make us a name. Mm-hmm. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get out of your country and from your kindred, from your father's house, unto a land that I will show you.
Yeah.
Not just anywhere you want to go stick your stick in the ground. I'll show you. God has a plan that's far better than this.
Yeah.
I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing.
Yeah.
There's the difference between the two government forms.
That's right.
Now, I don't care what you call it, kind of ism it is.
That doesn't matter.
You've only got two forms of government. You got this one over here where men said, we choose us a place, we're going to do this the way we want to do it. Or you go with the blessing of God, and there comes a time when them two systems are going to bang together.
You bet you are.
Now, here's the thing. I got all that out here where I can say this and ask you this. If this system in chapter 11, if it ever causes one single promise of God to fail, God loses.
Yeah.
And Satan wins. That is not going to happen.
Yeah.
If Satan can form up some way to cause God's word to be 1 second late, if he said it's going to happen there and it didn't, he wins.
That's right.
And since God could swear by no higher, he swore by himself. And if that ever takes place, it's all over, Bubba. And don't get the idea that any of these guys are still going to be in existence, because if God quits, it all quits.
Yeah,
the thing that I'm pointing out here is there are some bedrock things in force where the United States of America is concerned that are very unique when it comes to nations.
Yeah.
There are some promises of God in effect here.
Yeah, there are.
And there are some covenants, very serious, covenant. People died in behalf of these things because they committed themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ and to this nation being a nation where his name is at stake. Now, I believe what God was telling me in that tent service up there last November, David, is this. The crossroads are here. I'm not going to lose this.
Yeah.
That's what the Lord is saying to me. And I'm telling you, when it comes up to that point where if it goes any further, God fails, something's going to change.
Yeah.
Something is going to happen, and I don't care how many isms they are.
Yeah.
You're going to ism no more.
Yeah.
Because when he starts to put a stop to something, I believe we're seeing it right now, David.
I agree. And you know, that point you made on covenants, You look at how long God will enforce a covenant. I mean, what he promised Abraham, we're still getting blessed today because of the covenant he made thousands and thousands and when a covenant's made, he takes it dead serious. And what I have been struck with is, and I wasn't even aware of all the covenants that we in America made with him in a dead serious basis. We came out being a very Bible-based people when so many settlers came here. But I was reading just this week of what went on in 1638 in Connecticut when they formed their first ever constitution, their first government. They got together and they got every single person together, and it was led by three ministers, and they said, all right, we have six questions for you. We're going to ask, do we think that God wants us to be here for his purpose? And everybody had to answer, yeah, we think he does. Okay, do we think that God wants a form of government to be among his people? Do we see that in the scriptures? Yeah, we think he does. And so they went through all this stuff and they said, do we commit ourselves to covenant with him, to follow his word, to seek his purposes, and to have him as Lord of the... And they said, yeah. And so everybody in there on the sixth query raised their hand and said, yes, we agree. And they made a covenant with God. And that covenant they made with God was dead serious. Out of that, they produced the first constitution we ever had in America, which is the Fundamental Orders of Connecticut, which says that the Word of God is the base of what we do. And I was struck by how serious they took that as a covenant. And they said, this is not just a light commitment. We're all going to talk about this and vote on it and see if we're all of accord. And it turns out that there were covenants made like that all over the land. You know, people came in and made covenants and were dead serious. We may have forgotten that covenant in this generation. God hadn't forgotten the covenant.
No, he
has
doesn't.
Not forgotten.
No, he doesn't.
And now we've got this clash of the Tower of Babel versus God's covenant is what it amounts to. I've got something for you here. I made an agreement with you versus, and I'm struck with the remembrance of Psalms 2, where it said that all the kings of the earth gathered together against the Holy One. And he just started laughing at him. He said, you guys really think you're going to tear down what I've built? You know, I've made a covenant here. I'm going to keep this. And I think that's really where we are. We're seeing this clash where that all these forces, all this stuff, the Tower of Babel kind of stuff, is gathered together against God's covenant that was made earlier to take the whole nation in a different direction that would violate that covenant. And God's stepping in and saying, no, I've made a covenant, and you're not going in a different direction. You know, here's the agreement we had, and I'm going to keep that agreement. And I think the word you had at Billy Brim is exactly that.
Well, you know, all you have to be is just be around a while. And you can see the concentrated effort that has gone forth in this country's government and operations. And so not the people, the government.
Yeah. And it's irrational.
To get God out of here.
It
get
is
him out
irrational.
Of here. Get everything that even looks like him out of
That's
here.
That's right.
And you notice, I was just looking at it, doing my best to look at it objectively, because, you know, it irritates you for a lot of different reasons. But just look at it objectively. Why would they do that?
Yeah.
Why are they so vehemently against God? Why do they want him out of here?
And you know what has struck me, and I was recently doing some work for some legislators on this very kind of issue, and we are so, in our public policy, God hostile in so many ways.
If they're mad at anything, you ain't mentioned that.
You say God in a graduation, you're going to find yourself in trouble. You put a nativity scene in a park, you put a Ten Commandments. And so I was looking, where are we on this? I mean, we the nation. And at Christmas time, we see every year this whacking on Christmas. Do you know that 93% of Americans celebrate Christmas, 97% are not offended by Merry Christmas, and yet our stores are saying, oh, don't say Merry Christmas. We've got 86% of the nation that wants nativity scenes shown. We have 90% of the nation who thinks that we should keep under God in the pledge. We have 93% of the nation that thinks we should keep in God we trust in our money. I mean, I can go through the numbers. What else does 90% of Americans agree on? You know, we've got this overwhelming thing. And over here, the government said, oh, no, you can't say God. You can't. And so we get all this stuff coming down from courts and coming down from public officials and coming down from executive orders and governors and others. And there's a clash. I mean, there's the God side over here and there's the anti-God. And it is not rational. Why would leaders go against 90 to 93% of the people and say, hey, we're going to force you into our 7% view over here? It's not rational, but that's the kind of conflict we're seeing going on right now.
Well, There's got to be a reason behind it.
And there's a spiritual reason behind it.
We'll get into this. We'll just take up right here when we get back tomorrow because we're out of time. But I want to close it with this. When it comes time to end the thing, and God begins to get a move on people, and He's given people time to repent.
Yeah.
Man, they've had a lot of time to repent here. And they absolutely refuse and grit their teeth and slam their heels into the ground. They begin to show everybody who they are and what they are and what their agenda is, and they can't keep their mouth shut.
Yeah.
And the earmark of it is they start pushing.
Yeah.
We got to get this now. We got to do it now. The Bible is just full of them where they began to push, and every time they began to push, the cancer began to come to the surface. And when it gets surfaced and out in the open, it'll
die. Killed. That's right.
It'll die.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
I wish we had more. We'll take it up here tomorrow. Praise God. Brother David and I'll be back in just a moment.
A covenant is an agreement or a decision to keep a promise that is made between two people or parties. There are two types of covenants, a conditional covenant and an unconditional covenant. A conditional covenant requires both parties to agree to fulfill a set of conditions in order for the covenant to exist. If either party does not deliver their part, then the covenant is broken. An unconditional covenant is when only one party is required to keep the promise and nothing is required of the other party. The Abrahamic covenant between God and Abraham is an unconditional covenant. God made promise to Abraham that required nothing from Abraham in order for the promise to be kept. The three main features of the covenant are the promise of the land, the promise of the descendants, and the promise of blessing and redemption. The key principle of the Abrahamic covenant is that when a person or nation obeys God, observing the moral truths found in the Bible, that person would be blessed. When the United States of America was established, the Declaration of Independence declared that all men had unalienable rights and that those rights were given by God. The motivation to protect those God-given rights spanned laws, policies, and decrees which honored God, releasing His blessing on the nation. It manifested in a thriving economy, domestic tranquility, and positive standing among nations throughout the world. We pray for an awakening in the land, that God's people would turn toward Him as their source, and that God's hand would cover, protect, and provide for the nation. From the instant He spoke light into existence, God has had a hand in the course of human events. The Roots and Reform Package from Kenneth Copeland Ministries is a study of God's hand in America's earliest hours and spiritual insight into exactly how God can heal any nation. This package is packed with inspiration and instruction. In the teaching series, How Does God Heal the Land?, available on CD or DVD, Kenneth Copeland and David Barton examine the church's role in healing a nation and our responsibility to put godly people in leadership positions. The Roots and Reform Package also includes Celebrate Liberty, a collection of timeless speeches and sermons on the blessings and responsibilities of liberty, Keys to Good Government, an exploration of wise counsel from God-fearing leaders, and Principles of National Reformation, a 60-minute audio message on prayer and national revival. Order the Roots and Reform Package today for just $28. This package, available on CD or DVD, is a vital resource designed to help you develop an action plan based on God's Word to bring healing to our nations. For a product discount and 48-hour processing, order the Roots and Reform Package online at kcm.org. To order by phone, call toll-free 800-600-7395. For these and other products, go to kcm.org.
The Roots and Reform Package. Praise God. I'm going to tell you right now, this is required reading and listening and watching because you and I have the spiritual influence that can change. It can change the government of your church. It changed the government of your household, change the government of your nation. Nothing is too hard for God. No, this thing hadn't gone so far that God can't do anything about it. Are you kidding me? get that off your heart. And the way you do it is you begin to major in material like this instead of just watching all the bad news.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
There ain't no good news on there.
Yeah.
Except once in a while if something comes up and some puke sticks his foot in it.
Yeah,
you know,
but it's accidental. Yeah.
But other than that, here's where you need to get your information is hearing out of the Word of God.
Yeah.
And so you get hold of this and spend time in it. Bring your children in. You'd be surprised how socialized your children are if you hadn't figured it out already. And if they're in public schools, they're little socialists right now. And you need to get them in there and say, no, baby, now listen, that ain't the way God did this thing. And the government's not our answer, nor is it our source.
That's
but
right.
God Almighty
right.
is, and His blessing by the power and the blood
That's
of
right.
Jesus Christ is what makes
That's
our
right.
meets our needs.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Father, we pray. Not only over this nation, we pray for every person in the sound of our voices today because all nations all over the world are under the influence of all of this right now.
That's
it's
right.
all coming to a head, and Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
And we thank you for it, Lord, and we pray for the strength of our partners in every nation on earth today. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, we got some dynamite meetings coming up this year. You need to spend time, make plans, spend time where people from everywhere come together to worship God. Amen.
Yeah.
Behind the Mission Weekend with Steve and Kelly Swisher, my daughter and her husband, and my son John, June 25th and 26th, Chicago. And Glory and I, you got to come to homecoming this year. Praise God, the big Southwest Believers Convention here in Fort Worth. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland, David Barton, reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase today's broadcasts on DVD or CD, or for a copy of today's product, go to our website at kcm.org. You'll find an extensive resource of faith-based teaching to help you find the answers you're looking for. Have faith in God and walk in the blessing today. Come to these exciting meetings. A Behind the Mission Weekend with Stephen Kelly Swisher is June 25th and 26th in Lombard, Illinois at the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center. The Copeland Family Meeting in Long Beach, California is July 8th through 10th, 2010. Come and meet the family, George and Terry Pearsons, Stephen Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons at the Long Beach Convention Center. For more information, go to kcm.org. Visit kcm.org and get an exciting look at listings, meeting schedules, product news, and much more. View KCM meetings live or watch Believer's Voice of Victory webcasts on demand. That's kcm.org.